Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today, we look to the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 to 11. Brothers and sisters, if you were raised with Christ, now what does that mean, raised with Christ? If you were raised with Christ, if you believe in his death and resurrection and have been born by baptism into life with him, you are raised with Christ. In other words, what happened to Christ will happen with us if we have faith in him, if we put our trust in him. If we live according to both his teaching, his directions, his commandments, his promises, if that's the origin of our life, in the sense of our earthly life, we're rooted in Christ and what he has done for us on the cross, then, says Paul, you are being raised with Christ. You're being raised to eternal glory. That will be evident when we die. Right now, we can't see that. But we believe that when we are baptized into Christ, we share in the power of his death and resurrection. And Paul says, if you were raised with Christ, so if you have joined your life with Christ in the power of the resurrection by the Holy Spirit, then seek what is above every day. What is this? There was a saint, I think it was St. Alphonsus, who said, what is this? Meaning, whatever the circumstances are that are right in front of me right now, what is this in light of eternity? In other words, what importance should I give this? Am I getting bent out of shape about something that isn't worth it? Or am I not paying attention to something that could have infinite effect? Am I committing a sin or participating in the sin of another and not even thinking about our eternal destiny? If you were raised with Christ by baptism, then seek what is above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Think of what is above, not of what is on earth. Now, Paul's not saying ignore what's going on earth. But he's saying, put your emphasis, put your attention, put your meditations, put your thoughts and reflections to think about what is to come. Think of what is above, not of what is on earth. Of course, we have to devote our minds and our hearts and sometimes the physical effort of our bodies to care for the things on earth and the people on earth whom we love, the people on earth to whom we are committed. Of course, we need to think about those things. But what he's saying is, keep your sights clear. What is this? Meaning, what is this set of circumstances right now? What is this in light of eternity? See, we're always looking. Does this draw me closer to the Lord? Does this take me away from him? So Paul says, think of what is above and not of what is on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. That's what happened to us in baptism. We are united with Christ. In the sense, our life is hidden with Christ in God because it is what Christ did for us upon the cross that enables us to live forever. And so our life right now is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, your life, appears, then you too will appear with him in glory. When we see Jesus face to face, that's when we receive the reward of one who has followed him. Are you following him? Or are you just paying lip service? This is a day to really take inventory. Take stock. Put to death, then, the parts of you that are earthly. Immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, the greed that is idolatry. What does it mean, the greed that is idolatry, that all your effort, all your intention, all your motives is to get, accumulate, have, hold on to, hoard? That's what he's saying. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. put to death then the parts of you that are earthly. So how do you do that? We say, Lord, I'm putting a lot of time and energy into something that will only do me good in this life. Is it really worth it? Putting time in my job is very important for the care of my family, so I'm not talking about that. But I am talking about even in your work, sometimes you can be so overwhelmed that you're not tending to the other responsibilities that you have. You need to talk that over with God and work that out so you can always keep your heart fixed on what is to come. There are things that devour us almost, that consume us, making money, having certain possessions, having certain influential friends, even having degrees. All of that can be, I've got to achieve, I've got to gain, I've got to be on top of, I've got to be better than everybody else, I've got to be more important. And that's where we start to find our value. That's what's wrong. And that's why Paul is saying, seek the things that are above, not the things on earth. For you have died by baptism, you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, your life, appears, then you too will appear with him in glory. Let's get our thoughts, our focus, our goals, our priorities, let's get them focused on the things that are to come. Not that we ignore this life, not by a long shot, but that everything we do in this life, we value it, we prioritize it, we seek to accomplish it, we put our time and energy and talent into it in order that God may be glorified, in order that other people may be served, in order that I may come to you, Lord, in heaven. That's why we should be doing what we're doing. That's how, even when we're significantly occupied by earthly matters, keep seeking in your heart the things that are above. Lord, I do this for your honor and glory. Lord, I do this in the hope that I may see you forever. Orient yourself toward the life that is to come. Put to death, then, the parts of you that are earthly: immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and the greed, as I spoke about a moment ago, the greed that is idolatry. Idolatry simply means that you are making the acquisition of property or the accumulation of money virtually your God, because that's where you're putting all your time, talent, and energy. That doesn't work. Put to death, then, the parts of you that are earthly: immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and the greed that is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming upon the disobedient. By these, you too once conducted yourselves when you lived in that way. But now you must put them all away: anger, fury, malice, slander, obscene language out of your mouths. Stop lying to one another, since you have taken off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed for knowledge in the image of its creator. You've taken off your old self. In other words, you have a new set of goals. You have a new set of priorities. You're living this life in order that God may be glorified and that you may be in union with him for all eternity along with all those you love. So you're living your life in such a way that those goals are being fulfilled, that you're not earthbound. You can work hard, you can accomplish, you can accumulate, you can do all that, but what for what purpose? Is it just for you? Or is it in order to give? Now, sometimes people say, oh, it's in order to give, but if you really look at what they do with their money, a lot of it they hoard, and a lot of it they use just for their own ends and their own pleasures. So we need to take stock, brothers and sisters, because we want to live forever. We don't want to stand before God. When God asks us to render an account for the gifts he gave us, we don't want to stand before him empty-handed. Stop lying to one another, since you have taken off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed for knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free. In other words, all the categories that he describes there, we have similar categories today. Different labels, but the same sense. We categorize people. And God is saying there is no category because Christ is all and he is in all. So how do we treat one another with what we've been given? The Lord is compassionate toward all his works. And that means us too. He's compassionate. He has mercy on us if we repent, if we say we're sorry, if we try to change. And the Gospel of Luke chapter 6, verses 20 to 26, raising his eyes toward his disciples, Jesus said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours." I hope you know what it means by poor here. It might be poor materially, but the most important definition is poor means I know that I'm not my own source. I know that everything doesn't rest in me, that I depend on God for my salvation. I cannot save myself. There can be the materially poor who, by their material poverty, learn how poor they really are spiritually, so it can work for the good for them. The point is to know who you are and to know where you're going. Blessed are you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. Blessed are you who are now hungry, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who are now weeping, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and denounce your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. If people mock you, ridicule you, insult you because you are a Christian, then rejoice and be glad. Rejoice and leap for joy on that day. Behold, your reward will be great in heaven, for their ancestors treated the prophets in the same way. But woe to you who are rich. In other words, you've accumulated and you're stingy, you're miserly, you hold on to it. Woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. You're not going to get any blessing in eternal life for that because you're using it for yourself. Woe to you who are filled now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will grieve and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for their ancestors treated the false prophets in this way. What Jesus is saying is, if you feel satisfied now and happy right now and everything is just going the way you want it to be, woe to you if you have not acknowledged the source of all those good things. And if you have not used those good things you have been given for the sake of others, then woe to you. Woe to you. And if you accept people speaking well of you, we've spoken about this before, but if you take all this to yourself to say, yes, I did this, I accomplished this, it's all because of me, and you do not acknowledge the source of your talent or ability, then woe unto you. Brothers and sisters, let's take on the mind of Christ and his priorities. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I'd like to offer you a new free booklet entitled The Final Confrontation by Ralph Martin. I am very interested in your response, and you can write to me at Renewal Ministries. To access the free booklet, simply call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.